Hey, what's going on, fam? I know the sound is a little bit different on this podcast. Please forgive me. I have relocated to the DMV and I'm still doing a lot of settling and getting some things together. I'm making up for lost time by covering two episodes of Greenleaf in one setting. So here's episode 4 and 5, The Underdog and Closing Doors of Greenleaf. Y'all live, love, and be free. Don't forget to support us on anchor.fm. The links are posted below. Check us out on Twitter at BTransBPodcast. If that's all that I have to say, here we go. Black, trans, and beautiful. Here we go. Hey, what's going on, family? This is Yanni T. I do apologize for not doing an episode on last week. Many of you all know that I relocated and that I have been super busy living life and enjoying life and getting acclimated to some things, and my workload has been super, super busy. But again, I do apologize if I have been distant the last couple of weeks on the podcast and on social media. That's what happens when you move to a new area sometimes. Now, I want to cover episodes 4 and 5 of Greenleaf. Oh my gosh. Starting with episode 4 called The Underdog, it opens up with Lady May visiting her friend Pastor Maxine Patterson in Atlanta. And Patti LaBelle is playing a great character. I must give it to her. When you enter into Maxine Patterson's church, you see the pictures of her with various celebrities, and these are actual pictures. Some may be Photoshopped. And we hear the song, "When You've Been Blessed, It's Like Heaven." May explains that she's divorcing the Bishop James Greenleaf, and she's expressing regret for not heading to Howard, and she wants to finally follow her goal and start her own church. However, Maxine says to her, "You have a church already. You have Calvary. Stay, May. Fix it up. Take over, May. It's yours." And while this is going on, May eventually returns home to Memphis from Maxine Patterson's church, and she's preparing for an event, which is the round table dinner. She was going to actually cancel one of the other events. However, May presents a gift of Maxine's books to Corinne, and those thoughts fire up when she comes across a large photo of her and James hanging on the wall. Now, you know, May is actually considering, you know, going forth in ministry. She has a call in her life, and she felt like she left that behind when she started dating the bishop and she married him, which is a lot of why she's discontent in this marriage, why she is just, it's okay if we get divorced, I'm going to move on. It's not best for us to be together anymore. However, May gets thrown for a loop at this round table dinner when Jacob and the rest of the family are invited by the bishop. And she runs him into the master suite, and he reminds her that they don't have to check that they don't have the check from Miss Clara Jackson yet, so they need to keep up appearances. Meanwhile, Jacob and Carissa are taking the kids to the event, and Jacob's against Carissa's idea. Jacob and Carissa are trying to figure out what to do with Zora, and Jacob wants to send her to a boot camp. Carissa wants to send her to a boot camp, rather. Jacob is saying, "I don't want to do that. You know, that's like sending them to a brainwashing camp." But what she ends up doing, Jacob and Carissa are talking at this dinner, and May overhears them. She said, "What are y'all talking about?" And he's talking about some wine or pie or whatever. But she knows something is up. She knows something is up. And it turns out that Zora ends up going to live with Lady May, so she can get her mind on track. And this is going to lead into episode 4 that happened on this week called Closing Doors. Now, Grace and Darius are escorting each other, as well as Darius is escorting Grace and Sophia to the event. And they're having a good time. However, Kevin shows up and he's asking about Charity. Charity still has their son. He wants to call the police, but Aaron tells him that's the nuclear option. And Aaron says she is still his mother. But Kevin feels like Charity may actually try to kidnap their son and skip town. However, James' friend Percy arrives, and James is glad he came, and he hopes that his presence with him will help him win back May. When May comes, sees Paris, she's surprisingly asking why he's at their Usher's Roundtable gala. And after they exchange pleasantries and they talk or whatever, they head to the bar. Lady May questions James' motives, reminding him that they're done. And she says, "I've made up my mind." The event begins, and May's making her rounds, introducing herself to the guests and stuff. And she comes across Clara Jackson talking to Grace and Darius. May grabs her before Grace says anything, and Grace notices Kevin and Aaron has showed up, not dressed for the gala, demanding to know where Charity is. Grace calls her as she's sitting by a pool, ordering a drink, and Charity says that she's on tour, despite Jabari telling him she's not there. She confirms what Jabari said and says she's doing what she wants. She's like, since Kevin did what he wants, I'm going to do what I want for a change. When Grace hands Kevin the phone, Charity hangs up on Kevin. This is the ultimate shade, and I'm going very quickly. Y'all, download the OWN app to watch this episode. Y'all can put it on your tablet, on your phone, wherever, whatever device you have, okay? You can watch this on the OWN app. When Grace tries to convince Kevin not to call the police, and she asks Aaron to keep Kevin from calling the police. However, Jacob and Carissa are still debating sending Zora to this behavior modification camp, as Carissa calls it. And May and Jacob reminisce over family pictures, and May's pride pries into Jacob's problem. He tells her that Zora was caught stealing from the offerings at Triumph, and Carissa wants to send her to Oregon to this boot camp. May says, "Send her to me for a while. That girl would not dare disrespect me in my house." I said, "Doggone it. Zora, you might want to run, because your grandma is going to bash your head into the wall. You're going to have to think about bashing somebody's head open and think about heaven later, girl, honey." So James and Percy grabs everyone's attention, and James calls May to the front of the room with him. And he makes a very loving, passionate speech. And thanks to the round table, he then calls forward his children and grandchildren to openly praise and woo May. As he speaks, May is giving him this look. You can tell that she's like, "Negro, please," but she is still wanting this divorce from him. And I kind of blame Bishop for this whole thing. He should not have sent those divorce papers to try to scare her. He then toasts to their marriage. And at this point, Rochelle Cross, uninvited, walks in and starts applauding them. Later, with Lady May clearly offended looking on, he approaches Rochelle and suggests that she may want to leave. And Rochelle Cross, in this whole attempt by Basie Skanks to take down the green leaves, she says, "You have to understand what it looked like if I wasn't here. James, nothing happened between us. What, do you expect me to just slink off into the night like some shameful secret?" And James is like, "It's not about secrets." And she reminds him that he was the one who called her to meet him at the Biltmore Hotel after Lady May kicked him out. This is last season, season 2. When the bishop tries to get a word in, Rochelle continues. She says, "You know I'm in love with you." And he's like, "Rochelle, please." But the bishop tries to cut in. She says, "No, you let me finish. I can't continue to act like you pulling me in and push me away doesn't hurt." And he attempts to apologize to Rochelle if he hasn't been clear about how he feels about her, but she still ain't finished. She goes on saying, like, "The way you held me in your arms, like you wanted to kiss me as you told me you loved your wife, or maybe the way you told me to stay away while looking at me like a man dying of thirst in front of water. Bishop, I've been very clear, you've been anything but." And as she walks off, James follows in with the stare zero in on him and May. May reiterates that she and James are done. And then she heads back up to the party with Clara. Later on, we see that Rochelle runs into Miss Jackson, and they have a little talk. She brings up Grace's fund to Clara, and Clara won't donate at this time. She then asks about the donation that James and May had asked her about, and asked her to vet it before giving any money. So Zora is also acting cold to Sophia at the same time, and tells her dad was actually accusing her of stealing money. And this starts a big argument. They start fighting and stuff. And she's like, "Why are you still even talking to Isaiah?" because she opens up the computer and she asks, who is this guy on this computer that she was sending money to? Because Zora's under the impression that she is going to run away with this boy when she turns 18. And her and Zora gets into a bad fight. I mean, she was like, girl, bye. She was like, whatever. And, you know, Sophia's trying to be the voice of reason. Connie also runs into Grace and asks why Kevin is no longer showing up to church. Grace sings that him not showing up because he is because he doesn't feel like he's supported as a black gay man. And Grace tries to convince Connie that the church needs to join a coalition of churches that openly support the LGBT community. And Grace reminds her that every underdog is Jesus. Now, Jacob brings Carissa a fresh glass of champagne and tells her that May has offered to keep Zora. Carissa doesn't like the idea, but Jacob loves it. And this kind of angers Carissa, and she's ready to leave. And Sophia's also with her boyfriend in the car, Roberto. They start making out, and his hands start roaming, and she stops him. She says, I want to wait to have to marriage to have sex. And then he says she wants to go back to him, but he decides to go home. Sophia is frustrated, and she starts venting to Zora. Then she tells Zora that she wants to have that he wants to have sex with her, but she wants to save her virginity for marriage, which I applaud Sophia. And she was like, an argument begins between them again, and Sophia and Zora. Sophia discovers that she's been talking to Isaiah, and Sophia says she's disappointed in her because this dude physically, mentally, emotionally, is verbally abusing you, girl. You can do so much better. And she's like, this ain't love. And she was like, what do you know about love, Miss Goody Two Shoes? And she's very cold, condescending. She's like, you want to talk about embarrassing? You embarrass me. You embarrass me at the cotillion, and you're embarrassing me right now. And to add insult to injury, she ridicules Sophia's faith in her being saved, and calls as to question whether Sophia truly believes. She says, Sophia retorts, I'm just happy to be saved. And maybe if you weren't so distracted by this pile of trash, you'd be happy too. Do you even know what that feels like? Sophia says. And Sophia's like, yeah, I do. All I got to do is think of a time before I knew you. A pile of trash? Okay, is that how God's little bitch likes to show love to all mankind? And Zora is going off. And next thing you know, hands are being thrown, and Carissa comes in the room and breaks up the fight and sees that Zora is talking to Isaiah on Sophia's computer. She goes off on her, and I was looking for Carissa to slap the piss out of Zora. But the party ends. Clara tells May that she wants to sit with her and James and her money manager to go over the finances one more time before she gives them the $2 million, and this shocks May. The next day, Grace comes across the article about James' tax issues, and Connie stops by and talks with her about the news with James and May, and she tells Grace that the deacons may ask her to take over as head pastor. Meanwhile, a reluctant Zora has moved in with May. Jacob is happy about this, but Carissa is side-eyeing the whole thing. Charity is still at her hotel singing at a piano bar. She's like, no, no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I'll know I stay alive. But I got all my life to that song by Gloria Gaynor. Honey, however, as the song ends, the sheriff's officer show up and asks Charity Greenleaf. She's like, yeah, that's me. You're under arrest. And they approach her because she's basically kidnapped her son. And this episode was epic, girl. It was very epic. And I loved how it deals with the church, dealing with the LGBT community, marriage, families, different things. Oh my gosh, like this is what we need. This is what we need. This is what we need. So I'm very glad that, you know, this has been brought to the forefront. Now, I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. Here's a word from our sponsors. So y'all live, love, and be free from the priestess. Smooches. I personally want to thank everyone that has tweeted, that have liked, that have shared any one of my episodes, that have shared it with a friend. If you see this podcast, share it, retweet it, send it to someone that can benefit from this in the Black, trans, queer, whatever community it is. We are for everybody. I really want to take this to a higher platform. I am built on self-help, built on educating people about what's going on around us and entertaining to make you laugh. If you've had a hard day or a hard week, I'm guaranteed to make you laugh. Even through changes, I thank y'all for sticking with me. So in order to keep this show going, I want you to go to my PayPal. Email address is yanitimusic@gmail.com. Or you can also support us by going to patreon.com/btbpodcast. I'm going to have more bonus episodes that you might not get here on Black Trans and Beautiful. And just a heads up, Mystic June will now be on the Patreon page. Chapter 8 will post, but Chapter 9 going forward will be on our Patreon page. It'll be on our Patreon page, also on Podbean at patron.podbean.com/btb. And, you know, things happen, but we really want to take this higher. Can't give y'all too much of Mystic June. Now that's my baby. But we're still going to be coming back to you with reviews and great news and different topics to help you be the best you that you can be. I'm working on some more interviews, but if you're on Twitter, follow us on Twitter at BTransBPodcast. If you want to hit us up in our letter bag, tell us how good we're doing. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. You can also leave reviews on Stitcher. Also, reach out to us at BTransBPodcast@gmail.com. We love you so much. Smooches, we're going to go back into the show because I have an amen in my spirit. And I'm back. So we're going to cover episode five of Greenleaf. Again, this is episodes 4 and 5. If I mistakenly said 3 and 4, forgive me, but this is episodes four and five. Now, this episode is called Closing Doors. There's a lot of door closing going on. So we find Lady May in her office reading a brochure from the Howard Divinity School, or School of Divinity, and she's looking at it and she says, babies. Lord. And I must say, Lynn Whitfield has really captivated me in this role as Lady May in Greenleaf this season. I applaud Lynn Whitfield for being an astounding actress. And I must say, the whole cast is doing a great job. And this episode is going to get gut-wrenching, so be prepared, y'all. This is a spoiler alert. And my question is she really going to do it? Is she really going to go forth? Or what's going to happen? However, she's interrupted by a call from Miss Clara, who has decided not to give the $2 million to Calvary because she's talked to Rochelle Cross. She goes and tells Bishop the news in his office, and he's saying he already heard the news and discussed why this happened. Although they had originally agreed, upon Miss Clara giving them the money, she agreed that she was going to help them out. Apparently, it is learned that their IRS debt was more personal and not an institutional debt. Secondly, she learned that Lady May and the bishop are on the brink of divorce. Of course, from who else? Rochelle Cross. And she's stating that her family values would not allow her to support a church led by a divorced bishop. And then the blame game gets started. And Bishop says, well, Mac was your brother. And Lady May is like, but you told me those offerings weren't taxable. And he was like, I believed what Mac told me, Bishop says. Lady May has a solution. She said, how about this? You step aside and I'll take over. And she reminds the bishop that she has a calling on her life and dumped it in the dirt for him. And what did she get for her trouble? Bishop says, Chanel and Tiffany. I said, whoop. Y'all, I gagged. I gagged when he said that. And Lady May's solution is really not a solution in Bishop's eyes. He says, you're sorely mistaken. If we divorce, it will be you who will be exiting the building, not me. That's nature's way. And it's so funny because they are so much alike till it ain't funny. Oh my gosh, they are both. That MacReady is coming out in her and the Greenleaf is coming out of him. So that is just making one big ball of fire right there. So, in my opinion, as we go on over to Zora, we see that Lady May is now at home and she knocks on her door and tells Zora that Bible study is in 15 minutes and it's like 5:40 something in the morning. And Zora needs to be hit upside with the Bible. I'm sorry, with the way she's been acting, but she also needs therapy. She needs something to help her cope with everything. And Zora thought that it would be a luxurious affair at the Greenleaf Estate, but she was the one that was sorely mistaken. As the new day dawns, Lady May and Zora read from the Bible together, and Lady May has Zora read Isaiah 54:7. She says, "For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back." And I know this message is for Zora, but I can't help that but think that this is relevant to Lady May as well, as this is applying to her calling as well, that she dropped her calling for a man for 4 to 5 years, but all of this is happening so it could bring her back to God. We never know. "But for the Lord has called you like a wife, forsaken and grieved." And this is the entire passage in a different version. "For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting love and kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." And as they are reading together, Sophia stops by on her way out of the door for a morning run. Zora scowls. And they have such a good girl, bad girl competition, the good granddaughter, crazy granddaughter going on. However, Sophia goes out for her runs. And, you know, we snow flips the Charity. She seems like someone has knocked her out. Like, she's angry, she's depressed, and she's going through her bags and stuff, and she comes across a bottle of OxyContin pills. Grace comes in to her sister's room to check on her, and Charity goes off in anger. Grace says, "Are you okay?" And Charity's like, "Why wouldn't I be?" And she was like, "I got arrested and embarrassed." And she blames Grace for this, for the arrest at the Four Seasons Hotel. But she's like, "I did convince him. I tried to get him not to call the police. But I also asked that, you know, he didn't press charges." So it's like, what, you know, what more do you want? And I feel like really Charity is to blame for this, because she was doing too much. She had a great thing with Jabari, and she's taking out her anger. And I feel that Charity really needs to go to therapy at this point. She's taking out her anger because of the demise of her marriage, which is not her fault that Kevin was gay. He confessed to her. He tried to fix himself so their marriage could work. And granted, the way he ran off, you know, after the divorce and during their whole separation period was wrong, you know, she's doing the same thing that he's doing, and is really not healthy for the child or them as far as co-parenting. Just my thoughts, and I want you all to chime in on what you all think about this whole episode. Now that Miss Jackson isn't coming up with the money to help Bishop and Lady May and Calvary out of this, Bishop is scrounging around for a solution. He tells his assistant Corinne, who is Clara's granddaughter, by the way, to call Percy Thompson. Remember, he is the one who introduced Lady May and Bishop and was in the preceding episode, The Underdog. And Corinne apologizes. She said, "I'm sorry about my Nana not giving you the money." Bishop says, "God will provide." And Corinne doesn't know how, but she has this expression on her face, and she's thinking to herself, and she says it, "I want to see how." However, and it's funny that I've been reading this in the Bible about God taking care of his own. When man lets you down, God will always have a ram in the bush. But Rochelle ain't worrying about getting to heaven's door anytime soon. She's still trying to create hell for the Greenleaves by any means necessary. She meets with Tasha Skanks, which is her sister-in-law. And they conspire as how they will take down the Bishop and Jacob. Rochelle wants Tasha to get Jacob to sign some papers to trip, possibly to trick him into giving up the church. But it's about the real church that's no longer in existence. And they're making fun of the bishops, IRS. Well, Rochelle Cross is. She's saying that she's making fun of the bishop's IRS troubles being splashed across the front page of the local newspaper and things like that. But you can see that Tasha is beginning to have a conscience, and she really doesn't want to do that at all, because she's feeling so welcomed by Jacob and Carissa. They've made her feel like a human being instead of an outsider. So, you know. And we go back to Calvary, where Lady May goes to Deaconess Connie to tell her she doesn't have to worry about the IRS scandal. Bishop will step aside, and I'm ready to step up and take over. But Connie is not feeling it. She says, May is my feeling, and the Deacon Board shares my feelings that our best hope for the future is a disinterested third party. And Lady May is like, who's disinterested? And Lady May is like, girl, what you talking about? What you talking about, honey? And Connie says, why Grace? As if it's obvious, you know. And maybe this is part of the reason that Lady May is jealous of Grace or gives her such a hard time. Everybody can see Grace's calling to be a minister. And Lady May is worrying because she put her calling on the back burner to support her husband's call. And I'm going to put a pin right there. If you have a call on your life, people, I can say this as a person of the cloth, don't let anything or anybody make you forsake your calling of what God has for you. Don't let anyone make you miss your calling, because you can miss your calling and catch hell. Like, I'm really going to stick by that statement. But anyway, but we see that Lady May is like, I'm over this. And we see that Sophia is teaching the little children about faith by blindfolding them and asking them to move around the classroom. Roberto, and her, which is her boyfriend, comes in and tells her that she is good with children. And she says, I think they're good with me. And he apologizes for attempting to push her to have sex with him. And I think that was such a touching scene. Like, he really shows that he loves this girl for her. He didn't try to go and get his rocks off with another girl, as far as we know. But, you know, it's like, wow, that was really something. And yet another part of the Calvary, we see Percy has shown up and Bishop inquires about how he got out of his IRS mess. He tells him his lawyer helped him to rob Peter to pay Paul. Bishop says that he needs to speak with Percy's lawyer, but Percy says he already has an ace in the hole. That pretty little bunny that was prancing around at your party. He's been to Rochelle's website and has discovered that she's involved in cryptocurrency and is growing faster than bad grass, Percy says. Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, different things like that. He asks Percy for Rochelle's number, and Bishop asks for Percy's lawyer's number. And in one of the most heartwarming moments of the show, Jacob is spending some time with his son behind the closed doors of his office and playing chess with his son. And his son beats him. And this is one of the very few scenes where we see Jacob and his son interacting. And Tasha comes into the office to push these documents in his face. But she's touched by what she witnesses. And that makes up a reason to be there. She makes up a reason to be there, such as the AC is too cold, and closes the door behind her. We may see a change of heart from her. However, we see that Lady May has a heart, but when it comes to Grace, that's a whole nother story. She says, so I spoke to Connie and I know about the school of yours, she says to Grace. Grace informed her that she's truly disinterested in the job. And I'm like, I wish the two of you would forgive each other and move on. I don't know where pride ends and weakness begins. I don't want the church. And Lady May is like, good, because you'll never get it. And with that mean-spirited comment, Lady May may have sealed her fate. Grace may not have wanted the church before, but now that her mother tells her that she will never get it, those just might be fighting words. And after Lady May speaks with Grace, Connie has another conversation with Grace about who will take over Calvary if the bishop and Lady May divorce. Connie says Lady May must be on another planet if she thinks that she is the change that Calvary needs at this time. And in fact, the change of leadership will lead to a big for sale sign on the church. That will be changed, Connie says. And I love the way that Connie is just, oh my gosh, I love her acting. The woman that's playing Connie Sykes, oh my gosh, she is acting her face off in this. But she reminds Connie that the offering went down when she preached. This is Grace talking. She says, when I preached last summer, the offering went down, and that she will be preaching about Jesus' love and unconditional love. And she was like, you know, inclusion, that's all I'm asking for. Let's teach about Jesus' love, you know. And that's really a push to welcome more people in of different walks of life, especially the queer and trans communities. Now, we go back to the Greenleaf Estate. Charity is forced to give her son to his father, Kevin. She is acting hateful and mean. She's throwing bags. And she closes the door of her bedroom. And she slides down the door and starts crying. She's basically falling apart behind this. And honestly, I think a lot of it is because she never really grieved the loss of her other child that she lost. You know, she was supposed to have a set of twins, but she lost one child. Rochelle's plan, Rochelle Cross is also, her plan is coming apart because Tasha is having a change of heart about getting Jacob to sign the papers. She tells Rochelle that she hasn't found the right time to present him the papers. And Rochelle says, do you want to see Basie again? Then make it the right time. But I'm not sure how this is related to Basie's return, but I kind of miss seeing Basie Skanks on the show. He was an integral character, y'all, and he was fine too, girl. He was handsome. Handsome little black man, handsome little caramel complexion man, you know. But after meeting with Percy, Bishop decides that he needs Rochelle's planning skills, and he goes to her office to see what she can do for them. And he tries to apologize to her, but Rochelle Cross is cross with Bishop, and he tells her that he feels that the Lord led him to her door. And she says, "You prayed, and it brought you back to this, Jezebel. Now, why would I want to help you? You can't throw me out and come back begging for favors. That door of opportunity was closed." Child, you ain't heard nothing yet. So Tasha gets back on track with the plan as she figures out a way to get Jacob to sign the papers. But I don't know if she will give them to Rochelle, though. Her and Jacob are talking. And Jacob tells Tasha how much he appreciates her help at Triumph. And in fact, he says, "I consider you like family. You're family." And she was like, "Why?" He was like, "If the maintenance man don't do right by you or something, I'm gonna make sure he's fired." And she goes to the door and she's like, her eyes, you know, well up, like for real. And then we go back to the Greenleaf Estate. Zora's listening to some music from the rapper Ice-T before he began starring on the hit series Law and Order SVU. Apparently, she didn't know that he was a rapper before he was an actor. These children that were born in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, don't really know good music anymore. They're not familiar with N.W.A. They're not familiar with F the Police. They're not familiar with a lot of things that Ice-T did. And I love Ice-T as well as an actor and a rapper and an activist. And, you know, a lot of people in today's generation don't know that Will Smith was a rapper either. But anyway, Sevilla asks her if she wants to go to Zaxby's. And then she gets a pain in her side. Now, when she was running back to the house, she had already got a pain in her side. They didn't know what it was. And we see that Grace and Darius are talking about her, you know, possibly pastoring. And he was like, "Well, what would that make me?" She was like, "The first gentleman." He said, "Can I be the first boyfriend?" She's like, "Not if I have anything to do with it, not in my church, you know." And her mother calls. And you can see they're flirtatiously, their relationship is getting on track. And Lady May calls. And she puts the phone face down, and Darius gives her this look like, "Girl, you better answer that phone." And good thing that she did, because Lady May tells her that Sophia's in the hospital. At the hospital, she learns that Sophia is suffering from an ovarian torsion, and surgery is needed to see what the issue is. After Grace assures her daughter that everything will be all right, when she wakes up, she joins the family in the waiting room. Charity done popped a pill, and she's high as I don't know what. She starts yelling out, and she says, "Being sliced open ain't fun." And she mumbles about losing Grace's daughter, and she's like, "If something happens and we lose the kid, I got you." Sounding like that drunk family member or that high family member. And everybody's thinking that she's drunk and advises her to drink water. She's like, "I had some wine." And we're starting to see that it is what Charity Payne is. She hasn't had a chance to grieve the death of her daughter and the death of her marriage because she's been too churchy. She's been focused on her and trying to keep the family together. But boo, you gotta focus on you sometimes, girl. By the time Grace returns to see Sophia, the anesthesia has kicked in, and Sophia is giddy as she's telling her mother that Roberta Roberto wants to marry her and respects the fact that she's saving herself for marriage, and she dreams of having children and puppies. And when she says puppies, she goes off to sleep. And we see that Jacob and Zora are talking to each other about her staying at her grandparents, and he says, you know, if you want to come home, you can, you know. And Zora is like, you know, I'm not having any fun. I can't have access to TV or computer. We're doing early morning Bible study. And she's like, and we're seeing some kind of moodiness with Zora. And it may be that she's pregnant. We're going to see what happened. We're going to see what happened. Like, we're going to see what really happens. She may just be pregnant by Isaiah. And I'm hoping not, because that's going to be crazy. That's going to be real crazy, you know. But anyway, Charity comes over to them and says to Carissa, who replaced Jacobs after he walks away, she says, y'all really messed her up bad. And Carissa's like, excuse me? And she attempts to get a candy bar, but the candy bar gets jammed in the vending machine. And like a mad woman that's angry as hell, she's like, I want it. Give me what's mine. I just want what's mine. That line right there shows me that she wanted her child and wanted her marriage to work, but everything seemed to have fallen apart. And she gets upset and she punches the glass and grabs the candy bar and starts eating the candy bar. Although her hand is bloody, she uses the other hand to eat the chocolate candy bar. And y'all, when I tell you, I gagged. And it wasn't a funny scene, but it was the way she reacted. And when she looks at her hand, she's all calm. She says, I'm going to need stitches. And her family is stunned in silence. And Lady May and everybody are looking like, oh my God, what is going on? And y'all have seen the GIF going around on Facebook from at Greenleaf On with that. She was like the Incredible Hulk. After Charity is examined and stitched up, the family learned that she is on OxyContin, which she had left over from her C-section. And in the midst of all the chaos, Bishop pleads with Lady May once more. He says, these kids need their parents. They need us. Please let put all of this behind us. Lady May ain't hearing it. She said, mm-mm. She said, I've reached a point in my heart where going back would disrespect God himself. They need their mother and father, but won't have their parents again. So this is impending that the divorce is going to be finalized. So as a family, they are pushing Charity in the wheelchair and make their way to the hospital chapel and recite the Lord's Prayer together. And Bishop receives a text from Rochelle while they're there. And I'm sure that more is going to happen. And I can tell that this has shaken Grace up as well, because she's worried about her daughter. She don't know how severe things are because they're doing this emergency surgery for the ovarian torsion. So we find out that Sophia had ovarian cysts, which were causing organ displacement, and her ovaries had to be removed because it wasn't enough healthy tissue for everything to be healthy and to grow. And so she ends up not being able to have children. Y'all, when I almost started crying on the scene for real. And she had a dream of having kids with Roberto, and she's obviously great with children. And we never know what God is doing. So Sophia wept in her mother's arms and she says, I can't have children. Grace says, God has got you. You can lean on him. And she's like, but if I can lean on him, why did he allow this to happen? And it's like all of her dreams of having this handsome husband, babies and puppies is in jeopardy right now. And I feel like it'll be odd, and it's going to be some tension if we find up that Zora is pregnant by Isaiah, and that Sophia won't be able to have kids by the one she wants to marry. It seems like the, you know. And Bishop finally ends up coming to terms with Lady May's decision to move ahead with the divorce. He gives her a draft of what they will say to the church next Sunday about their pending divorce. After he hands the draft to her, he says, I'm sorry. She simply says, please close the door behind you. And she starts crying. She starts crying, and it goes off. And I'm like, oh my God, what is gonna happen on next week on Greenleaf? Y'all, I am so ready for this. Y'all, I don't know how to act. But do you think that divorce is gonna really be final, or are they gonna come to their senses? And is Lady May gonna really go through with her calling and try to help Bishop? Are they gonna go to counseling or whatever? Or is it all gonna fall apart? And I also received good news. Greenleaf has also been picked up for season 4 by the OWN Network. So congratulations. So tell me all what you think about this episode of Greenleaf. Y'all, live, love, and be free from the priestess. I'm going to be back next week with a whole nother episode for you all. Y'all, live, love, and be free. Smooches. You can follow Black Trans and Beautiful on Twitter at BTransBPodcast. You can also hit up our letter bag at BTransBPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to share. If you see it, sharing. Show us some love to our Patreon at patreon.com/BTBPodcast. Live, love, and be free. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/BlackTransBeautiful. We out, smooches.